Now to Food on Friday, and I'm not sure if you knew this, but Seafarm, the company Seafarm, is the country's third largest producer of prawns. And when Cyclone Yasi tore through North Queensland earlier this year, Seafarm's operations in the town of Cardwell, Crystal Bay Prawns, was right in the middle of it all. Staff there worked around the clock to keep the farm's prawns alive, and that tenacity paid off last week when Crystal Bay Prawns won the gold medal and the Champion Prawn Award at the Sydney Fine Food Show. So in this Food on Friday, it's all about the prawn. In a moment, we'll hear how to choose, prepare, cook and serve your prawns. But joining me first is Dr. Trevor Anderson, who is Seafarm's General Manager. And Trevor, welcome to the program. Congratulations.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Tell us about how Crystal Bay prawns survived Yasi. What happened when that cyclone hit that part of the coast?
When the cyclone hit, there were obviously very strong winds. There was a storm surge that came up over the bottom part of the farm. The biggest problem we had was that the power supply was knocked out. So immediately after Yasi, the attention came to making sure that we would get the power back on. And we have a number of generators on site, which we would normally rely on. And unfortunately, most of those were actually damaged by the cyclone. So we were without power for about 36 hours.
What does the power actually do within Crystal Bay Prawns to keep those prawns alive?
The power provides aeration, so the ponds right. have paddle wheels that rotate and essentially put bubbles on the water to get air into the water so that the prawns can breathe. So if there's no power, they don't have aeration.
They suffocate. So I take it with Yasi coming through, power going out, the generators also being damaged, you lost tonnage of prawns. How many tons did you lose?
We're still counting the cost, actually, but we think it's around about 200 tonnes of prawns that we lost.
Is that a very large proportion of your operation?
It's about 10% of what we grow each year. So it's a large amount, but it's not catastrophic for us. I mean, it's a fair whack in the hip pocket, but it won't wipe us out.
I've never really thought about the intricacies of farming prawns. What are some of the things you need to think about aside from aeration when you're intensively farming a creature like that?
The key to it is to making sure that the environment that the prawns live in is as good as you can possibly make it. So making sure that the water quality of the ponds is as good as you can keep it. So that's making sure there's enough oxygen, there's enough algae in the ponds to keep the nutrients at the right level. And then to feed them good things so that they grow well and quickly and taste good at the end.
What do you feed them?
We feed a compounded feed, so it's a pelleted feed that's made up to provide them with all the nutrients they require. It's got a little bit of fish meal, a little bit of krill meal, some wheat and soya meal, vitamins and minerals. So it's pretty much a balanced diet for prawns.
How big are these ponds that you farm prawns within?
They vary across our business. The smallest one's about 0.1 of a hectare, and the largest one's 2 hectares.
And that surface area, what about depth?
They're all about the same depth, about a metre and a half of water when they're full.
So out of a 2 hectare pond every year, how many tonnes are you extracting? I'm just trying to get a sense of the size of this, you know.
Out of each pond each year, we get about 15 tonnes per hectare. So 2 hectares will pull about 30 tonnes out each year.
And how many life cycles of prawns can you farm over a year?
That's 2 crops per year.
That's 2 crops. Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? You call them crops as if they're plants, but they're marine animals. But be that as it may, what species of prawns do you farm up there, Trevor?
The species is Phenaropaneus merguiensis, which is banana.
Oh, can you say that again? That was so well done. You're going to have to say it again.
Yeah, I might get it wrong this time.
Okay, go on.
Phenaropaneus merguiensis.
Nice.
And it's the banana prawn. But our prawns have been domesticated since 1998, so we take our broodstock out of the ponds. We never have to go back to the wild, so it's a very much a closed system.
So what does winning the champion prawn do for you? I mean, obviously it's a great honour, I imagine, but I mean, are these awards important in the prawn industry?
Yeah, it makes me feel really good, actually.
Yeah. How are they judged? I'm intrigued.
The judging is on a variety of factors: appearance, consistency. We submitted a 2 kilogram sample or exhibit, and so you have to have all the prawns looking the same, and then they're tasted. So They're assessed for antennae length and consistency, the form. It's a bit like looking at a horse, really. The colour, completeness, whether or not the shell is complete or scarred. And then, of course, the flavour. And I mean, we're really proud of the flavour of our prawns. They're sort of sweet and tender and stand out, we believe. And these ones were particularly so, it seems.
What's the differentiation in awards between a gold medal and a champion prawn award?
A gold medal, they award bronze, silver and gold depending upon a number of points that the prawn accrues in its judging. So you can have multiple gold medals, but you can only have one champion prawn, and that was a Crystal Bay prawn.
Where do your prawns go? I mean, obviously you've lost, I think you said something like 10% of your total crop over a year because of Cyclone Yasi, but which means, of course, the other 90% you really want top dollar for. So where do you go with those prawns?
We send them all over the world, actually. Within Australia, they go to Coles and Woolworths, but the better wet fish shops, some of the top-end restaurants. But they also go to Japan, Germany, Singapore, Hong Kong, so pretty much all around the world.
How do you get prawns that far without them losing, you know, the sweetness and the freshness that makes them a brand for you?
The prawns that go overseas are generally snap-frozen, so we harvest them and we've got a freezing system that freezes them down to minus 20 degrees within about 90 minutes of being harvested. So that captures all the flavour that is in the prawn and holds it well.
My guest, by the way, is Dr. Trevor Anderson, who is the general manager of Sea Farm, the overriding company whose subsidiary, Crystal Bay Prawns, which is based in Cardwell and went through Cyclone Yasi, has just won both gold and champion prawns at the awards at the Sydney Fine Food Show. Trevor, preservatives, do you use them when you're sending them overseas?
Yeah, we use the preservatives are used to stop them going black. If you don't use preservatives on prawns, there's certain cells in the skin of the prawns that oxidise and go black, and that becomes unsightly. It's not a food safety issue, but it just becomes unsightly.
Does it affect the taste of the prawn?
No, it doesn't affect the taste of the prawn. It just makes it look less attractive.
Yeah.
To avoid that, you can use metabisulfite, which is what most people use, but we use a material called Prawn Fresh. The main ingredient of which is actually green tea, and that stops the oxidation, and it's much better for the consumer as well, we think.
Why? What are some of the concerns you have about metabisulfite?
Well, there's many people with sulfur allergies. I'm actually one of them, and so if we can avoid putting sulfur in our prawns, then we prefer to do that.
Well, I mean, being a prawn farming operation, I'm still intrigued. What does winning these awards at the Sydney Fine Food Show do for your business? Surely, you know, you've got your clientele sewn up. Does this do anything different for you?
It does a couple of things. It allows us to tell the market that the things that we think we know about our prawns, which is that they're very, very good. But it also has provided, you know, post-Yasi, it's quite depressing to lose so many prawns. The staff look after these prawns like they were babies. And so to actually get recognition in a competition like this, that our prawns are champion prawns, is fantastic for the morale of the staff.
All right, well, Trevor, congratulations, as I said, on winning these two prestigious awards. And as you say, it, I guess, cements for you that what you think about your prawns has been thought of also by the wider food industry.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for talking to us.
Dr. Trevor Anderson, Sea Farm's General Manager. And joining me now, listening into that conversation, is Jeff Baines. Jeff's restaurant, Jaggard's Epicurean Emporium, is in Innisfail, south of Cairns. Hi, Jeff.
G'day, Michael. How are you?
I'm all right. You've been dealing with prawns over the years on your menu?
Oh, yes, love prawns, mate, and I live in one of the greatest areas for prawns in the world, I think.
Do you use wild or farm prawns?
I use wild preferably, but I have used farm prawns before.
What's the difference for you as a chef?
It's quite the difference between wild barramundi and farm barramundi. I feel that they have it's a very subtle difference, but they have a gamier flavour, I suppose you could say.
The wild ones?
The wild ones do, yeah.
Because they've been out of their enclosure and experienced the wider world.
They tend to exercise a bit more, so.
Okay, and what species do you tend to specialise in?
I prefer bananas when I can get them. The banana season's just kicked on up here now, When I can't get them, of course, I deal with tigers or with leaders, but I think bananas are a lovely prawn.
Now, I would have thought that one of the upsides, one of the few upsides of the kind of battering and amount of water that's been flowing through your neck of the woods in the last few months has been runoff, which means, doesn't it, that the prawns have got a lot more to feed on, which means bigger populations.
It is. It's going to be a good prawn season, I think. I've started getting our first batches of prawns in now off the trawlermen. And there's some beautiful prawns, some great size. And I think they're going to be quite abundant this year.
And you tried, don't you also, Jeff, to specialise in serving up to your customers preservative-free prawns?
Yes, I've had discussions with the trawlermans over the years. And we try and, I think you were just discussing metabisulfate and some of the other preservatives.
That's right.
I don't buy prawns that have been metted. There are a couple of different ingredients they're using. One of the trawlermen up here is using an ascorbic acid powder, which they're calling CitraFresh.
Which is vitamin C, essentially.
Just vitamin C powder. And again, it's only to stop the prawns going black.
Yeah, so it's an appearance thing.
It's an appearance thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally feel that meta is overused sometimes, and the meta bisulfate, I believe, changes the flavour.
And as we heard there also from Trevor, if you're allergic to sulfites, then this can be a concern.
Well, that's right. A lot of the intolerance to prawns is actually the metabisulfate and not the crustacean itself.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Now, Jeff, as I understand it, one of the people, one of the trawlermen that you've relied on to get you preservative-free prawns, in fact, is on the line with us as well. He's trawling as we speak to him. Hello, Ron. Ron Foster.
Yeah, g'day, Michael. How are you going?
I'm well, thanks, mate. Where are you at the moment?
Mate, we're just north of the Keppel Islands, or in the Yeppoon area.
Okay, so how far off the coast are you?
Mate, I'm about 1.5 mile off the beach.
And how's the day looking in terms of prawn?
Beautiful day, not real good on the prawns so far, but we're still looking.
You're still looking, okay. Now, Ron, up until recently, you were supplying Jeff with some of these preservative-free prawns, weren't you?
Yes, mate. Yes, I had another small vessel I ran out of Innisfail, which I would run on a day basis and come home every afternoon, and so therefore I could take the product straight from the ocean straight to Jeffrey's restaurant.
Which meant that you didn't have to worry about applying preservative to stop the black spot because it was such a fresh turnaround. There was no point.
That's correct, mate. He had them on his at his restaurant within a couple of hours of being caught.
Now, you've upgraded to a larger vessel. Why has that changed everything for you?
Well, we have to stay at sea for a lot longer. We have to use metabisulfate to hold our prawns to stop them going black.
Even though you snap freeze them as well.
Even though we snap freeze them and they run at our room's actually on minus 40 now, they will still go black.
Oh, that's interesting. I never knew that. I thought that the freezing process would stop everything. I think that's what Walt Disney was hoping on when it comes to, you know, being cryogenically frozen. But Ron, when it comes to your industry, we've just heard from Jeff that he's hearing from people like yourselves that this should be a bumper year in terms of prawns feeding and growing large and getting lots of strong populations up and down the coast. But you're not very hopeful about the future, are you?
No, the product's not the issue. There is plenty of product to catch. It's the price that we're getting. My estimation, the way we're going, this industry has about 6 months to go and it'll be finished.
That's a big call, Ron. 6 months to go. Why do you say that?
Well, mate, we're looking at fuel at $1.45. We use a fair bit of fuel. And we're competing against imported products that we just can't compete with. So, consequently, the local court product that you or the public see in the shops for anywhere from $14 to $20, we're getting up around about $6 for them.
And the imported product comes in at what kind of price?
Sorry?
How much does it cost, you know, the supermarket chains and restaurants to bring in the imported stuff?
I think they bring it in for about $4, mate.
Well, that's not viable, is it?
No.
And yet, what about the quality? I mean, if you've got people like Jeff Baines, who's a chef, owner of a restaurant, values local product because it's caught fresh, it's caught local. Surely that's a selling point.
I'm sure it is to some people, but price is also a big issue. For this industry to survive, we have to, our prices have to jump by about $3 to $4 that we're getting, but that's not happening. We're getting less for our product now than what we were last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but all our costs are going up.
So, Ron, are you planning for an exit?
Mate, I can't. I'd love to exit, but you can't get out. You wouldn't be able to give one of these trawlers away at the moment. They're worth nothing.
So how come you upgraded to a new vessel?
Things were looking okay. When I done the figures to buy this vessel last year, it's actually just come up to my 12-month anniversary. When I done the figures last year before I bought this vessel, Moreton Bay bugs were $24. That's what the fishermen were getting, was $24.
That's a kilo?
Per kilo.
Yep.
This year, we've just finished the scallop season. This year and the bug season, they've dropped the price to $16 because they're bringing them in from India for $7.
That says it all, really, doesn't it?
That says it all, mate. We can't compete with that.
Well, Ron, I do hope things turn around for you, and I really appreciate you coming on when you're in the middle of your work day. And, look, yeah, we'll keep in touch, eh?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. The only way that this will turn around, mate, is that we get support from the general public that do want to eat this seafood, because they're not going to be able to get it soon. It's going to collapse.
All right, Ron, thanks for that. And Jeff Baines, are you still there?
Yes, Michael.
Good on you, Jeff. It must be heartbreaking to hear someone like Ron, who you've built up a relationship with, finding it so hard.
It is heartbreaking, mate. And I think the only way, on Ron's point, that we're going to get this to turn around is to get Australian consumers to insist on Australian product.
Mm.
It's a far, vastly superior product. And for the sake of... I mean, I know it's very hard... living nowadays, but the sake of a dollar or two a kilo to keep a vibrant industry like our seafood industry viable is a very important thing to do. So I know when I go out, I can tell the difference between imported prawns and wild or Australian farm prawns, because the Australian farm prawn, again, is a vastly superior product to the imported product. So,
well, look, a few tips for those consumers amongst us who love prawns, and I'm one of them. When I'm buying prawns, and I will try and buy local from now on, just quickly on this, Jeff, should we buy fresh or frozen?
When I'm working with someone on a small boat and I'm getting fresh prawns in, you know, they're a couple of hours out of the water, and that's no problem. You'll find with a lot of the larger vessels, as Ron said, you know, they're at sea sometimes for a month at a time. Now, when they snap freeze in their 40 degrees below, the prawns are probably only an hour old. So
don't be worried about it.
Don't be worried. If they're thawed correctly, again, you're back to the idea that the prawns have only been sitting as a fresh product for a couple of hours. So you just got to be careful when you thaw them. Don't ever thaw them in a bucket of fresh water or in the sink, you know. Try and thaw them in the fridge overnight, or if you're going to thaw them in water, make sure you put a bit of ice and some salt in.
Okay, that's a great tip.
The ocean again, and it stops all the flavour leaching out.
That's a good idea. Invitate the ocean. I love that. Jeff, thank you very much indeed.
My pleasure, Michael.
Jeff Baines, chef and owner of Jaggard's Epicurean Emporium in Innisfail. We were talking prawns with him, trawlerman Ron Forster, and Dr. Trevor Anderson from Sea Farm. That's the program for today, and indeed for this week. Thank you to all the team that make this program possible 5 days a week here on ABC Radio National. We'll be back on Monday with Michael Cathcart. My name's Michael McKenzie. Have a lovely weekend.